Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're more than happy to welcome aboard Jay Jaffe. And Jay is the senior writer at Fangraphs.com, MLB.com, and formerly of SI. And he's the author of a book that might interest you entitled Cooperstown Casebook. Jay, thanks for giving us a couple of minutes of your time.
Hey, sure thing. Good to be here.
Yep. All right. First of all, you know, with the Astros from earlier today, and what impressed me, and I'm sure you as well, was their absolute sincerity. Accountability.
Oh, boy.
Responsibility. You know, I mean, and I think you just gave us your answer.
Yeah, that was not a good showing by anybody. It almost felt like Bregman and Altuve were reading those scripts from a hostage video.
Wouldn't it have been funny if Altuve standing there in front of his locker, if a buzzer had gone off?
Oh boy. Yeah, it wasn't a good look. I think the worst performance by far, though, was Jim Crane, who really couldn't keep his own story straight, and he's had months to put something together. The Astros are just not good at crisis management. I don't know how you don't turn over your entire PR department after the debacle of how they handled the Brandon Taubman issue during the playoffs in the World Series, because they are not getting good advice on how to put out a fire.
And Crane, of all the bad that we were listening to and what we were not surprised about, that's for sure, Jay, the worst of them all was Crane, by saying that none of this had an impact on their game, and said so with a straight face.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a seven-game World Series that was decided by slim margins, extra inning games, and comebacks galore. I mean, there's no way that couldn't have tilted the balance in the World Series. And to say that with a straight face was a complete insult of the intelligence of anybody who took the time to listen.
And here's the thing. How refreshing, and do you think we'll live long enough to ever hear anyone say, we got caught, and that's what we regret?
Yeah, no, it was just a masterclass in how not to handle something like this if you want to be taken seriously.
Oh, there's no question about it. But what is the lesson? I mean, I always love it, and from hearing your various sports talk radio shows, when you do get those calls that say, well, what kind of a lesson is this for young people? Well, young people probably know as well as older people that sometimes, unfortunately, and I use that word advisedly, that sometimes, unfortunately, crime does pay. And the number one example is Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it over and over again, and it goes beyond sports. Unfortunately, the playing field is not always level. We don't always see justice done on the field or off the field. Mm-hmm. We live in an imperfect world, unfortunately, and dealing with that and those frustrations is, it's tough, especially when you look to sports for at least a momentary escape from the injustices of the rest of life. To not get them on the playing field is dissatisfying.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And again, listen, it's risk and reward. I was talking about this a little while ago. There's risk and reward. And and I know, this is not going to stop cheating in baseball.
No, And, you know, if Major League Baseball wants to get rid of this particular avenue, they've got to change something substantially. They've got to do a better job with security of this the video monitors, or maybe just take the video monitors out of the clubhouses entirely. You know, I think one way to do that would be to just have a neutral fifth umpire, eye in the sky type, and deciding, you know, what gets reviewed and what doesn't, without teams getting a chance to review it. But cheating in baseball has gone on as long as there's been baseball. The first year of the National League in 1876, the Hartford Dark Blues put a shack up in center field where they had somebody with a telescope where they're trying to figure out the signs. So, you know, there is no edge that won't try to be exploited on the field. No matter, you know, you clamp down on this rule, somebody's going to find something else to try to get an edge.
And Ralph Branca, the late Ralph Branca from the Bobby Thompson home run in 1951, he'll tell you the Giants were using from deep in center field.
Yep.
They were using binoculars. And by the way, doesn't at Fenway Park, that scoreboard, you can take those numbers off and look through there?
A lot of the old manual scoreboards, yes, you could be peering in with binoculars or telescope or whatever, and getting the signs. Sure.
Well, you know what's going to happen now? Teams are going to use drones, and from up above. Never mind about what they'll remove all the video, Jay. They'll take all of with the sign stealing videos. With all of the technology, and they'll start using maybe Trevor Bauer's drones.
Oh, God.
No, please call me Steve. But but the bottom, would you be surprised to see drones?
You know, at this point, nothing would surprise me.
How would you, if you were Manfred, if you were Major League Baseball, how would you have penalized or punished the Astros? What would you have done any different than what has already been done?
Well, you know, I think now knowing what we know, I think that there should have been longer suspensions for Luno and Hinch, the general manager and the manager.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why he couldn't penalize the players.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's frustrating. I find it frustrating too. But if you look at the history, you know, the fact is that they needed collectively bargained penalties. I don't have a time machine, but I think you have to go back to the Apple Watch incident where Rob Manfred drew the line in the sand in late 2017. And you also have to think about what happens to the players there. It's fine to make the general manager and the manager accountable, but you also have to have some kind of sanction in place for the players in case you do catch them, and because he didn't, they don't have that. And, you know, I think going forward, I think you have to have some kind of penalty like that. You know, is this as serious as a PED suspension? You know, it kind of feels like that would be a reasonable place to start. You know, half a season for a first offense, a year for a second offense. Maybe that's what you do. I think that. We're seeing a lot of anger from the Players Association, so I would think that there would be some kind of consensus that there should be some kind of penalty if a player is caught doing this.
And Beltran, the godfather, the mastermind, who at first told the New York Post, and maybe you're aware, Jay, but he at first months ago told the New York Post he wasn't aware of any kind of... Do you think, as a borderline Hall of Famer, this will keep him out?
It could very well. I mean, we've seen, you know, I write about the Hall of Fame all the time. I've thought about Carlos Beltran all the time. I will get my vote for the first time next year, so 3 years from now I will have to weigh how I feel about Carlos Beltran. I was inclined to vote for him before all this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm trying to decide, you know, is this a Rafael Palmeiro situation where because he got caught doing something, you know, that was really bad, you know, it makes sense to not vote for him because he broke a serious rule? Or is this like a Roberto Alomar spitting incident where, yeah, you maybe don't vote for him the first time, but you know, at that, you know, beyond that, you give him his due? I don't know. I do think, though, that it's going to be a tough sell for certain people, certain voters, to vote for him. And my hunch is that if he gets in, it's going to take a long time, and he's going to have to do a lot of work, you know, to make people, I think, see
mm-hmm.
the rest, you know, that he has other qualities that he brings to the table besides this.
You know, other people have brought this up, that because, yes, it would be very difficult to penalize certain players. There were players certainly on the team that may not have used with the cheating, others who may have used it and not been very successful with it. Everybody seemed to know about it, and it would be very, very difficult for any of us to believe that there was a single member of that 2017 Astros team. And as I mentioned this, how long before that do you think it might have been going on? I mean, they eventually got caught, because if Fires doesn't say anything, it's still going on, yes?
Yeah, well, okay, from what we understand, they abandoned the trash can system because opponents had caught on and were changing their signs with greater frequency. But they were still doing Codebreaker, the algorithm in the spreadsheet, until sometime in 2018. Is it possible they were doing something else? I mean, I know we've heard allegations regarding a buzzer system and things like that, without any actual evidence, towards that, or any whistleblower towards that. I think it's tough to put too much stock in that right now, because it sounds like a conspiracy theory. But just because Rob Manfred didn't find anything doesn't mean there wasn't something going on. I mean, we there's enough daylight right now to say that that investigation may not have caught everything that was that needed catching.
Mm-hmm. And we know that why Manfred, for the most part, wasn't going to go after individual players, a union, lawsuits, a lot of things going on, and I'm sure he wants this off the table as soon as possible. However, and a number of other callers, other hosts, myself included, have thought about maybe you can punish the players collectively by having Manfred or Major League Baseball not have them perform in the postseason. Would that be workable or feasible?
You know, that might be a battle worth fighting. The equivalent of a team that's on probation in college sports.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Where they play out the regular season, but they can't go to a bowl game, or
right.
Go to the tournament or whatever. To me, that actually makes some sense. I think a lot of the other penalties are kind of unfeasible. I would like to have said, I think my first impulse as commissioner, knowing that I couldn't penalize them with a suspension, without a long drawn out fight from the union, is say, okay, you guys made this much money in playoff shares. Let's start with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take, each of you has to pay back that playoff share. And we're going to donate it to, a charity or several.
And charities. There would have been lawsuits on that, because how do you go about?
There probably would have been, but
lawsuits everywhere.
It's tough, that's not a winning PR fight,
Right.
you're going to designate a charity where your share is going to. I mean, who's going to fight against, a donation to, the Jimmy Fund, or helping hurricane victims or something like that. I mean, especially remembering Houston being rocked by the hurricane around that time, and what the Astros championship meant to people then. Well, donate it to food banks and things like that locally. I mean, you at least come out of this with some kind of positive outcome.
The shame is never going to go away. You could have taken away money, you could have taken away games, postseason games, et cetera, with any and all kinds of punishments you want to come up with, other than what we have already seen. But the shame, they're all going to be wearing scarlet letters that spell A-S-T-R-O-S for the rest of their lives. And that, I don't know if you can put a dollar and cents amount on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the same way that we talk about Barry Bonds as being, the all-time leader in home runs, but, somebody who's also alleged to have used PEDs, we talk about the Astros as, yes, they won a World Series, but. And that's the real penalty they have to pay, Nobody is ever going to give them full credit for winning that World Series anymore.
Right.
You're not... when you're talking about, oh yeah, he helped the Astros win, you know, win a championship, and he did this and this and this. Well, yeah, you know, draw a line through that one, because that one doesn't really mean anything to anybody anymore. You know, in a positive way, like Carlos Beltran doesn't get that bonus. You know, when we're talking about the impact he had in the game, he did a lot of good things and had a lot of great accomplishments. Great postseason player, but we don't give him that little extra credit. The feel good story of helping the Astros win the World Series in his final year, that's gone now.
Here it comes, drones. I'm telling you. All right, Jay, thanks so much for a couple of minutes of your time.
Sure thing, Steve.
And good luck to you. Take care of yourself.
Okay, take care.
All right, Jay Jaffe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.